very much, Brother Grover, and good evening. It is good to see you out tonight. We trust that as we read and meditate upon God's precious word, that he will have something to say to us that will encourage us if we belong to him. And if perchance this one here without the Lord Jesus, tonight we pray that you will come to know him as your Savior. I'd like to turn to some portions of scripture beginning at Job chapter 33. Job chapter 33. Just one verse there before going on to the first chapter of Joshua. Job chapter 33, verse 14. For God speaketh once, yea twice, yet man perceiveth it not. God speaks once, yea twice, yet man perceiveth it not. I'd like for you to also turn to Joshua chapter 1, verse 16. Joshua chapter 1, beginning at verse 16. And they answered Joshua, saying, this is the children of Israel just after Moses' death, just before they crossed Jordan to go into the promised land. These are the children of Israel speaking with Joshua. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commanded us, we will do, and wherever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he is that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. Just over a couple of pages to chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. Chapter 6, verse 17. Joshua is talking to the people. God has given him the commandment as to how he is going to destroy Jericho. And he tells them these words from God. Verse 17, and the city that is Jericho shall be accursed, even it and all that are in it to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in every way keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. Remember, he's talking to people who just told him that they were going to do everything that he said. Chapter 7, verse 21. Achan is speaking. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran into the tent, and behold, it was hidden in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent and brought them unto Joshua and unto all the children of Israel and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all the children of Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, and this makes something go up and down my spine every time I read it often the last few weeks. Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned him with stones. And they raised up over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of the place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. And may the Lord add his blessing to the public reading of his precious word. God speaketh once, yea twice, yet man perceiveth it not. Man doesn't lay hold of it. Man doesn't observe it. Man doesn't regard it. If you're here tonight without the Lord Jesus, and if you've ever heard the word of God, you stand in the place that Elihu was the man who said the words. One of Job's comforters, we call them. You stand in the place of the person that he was talking about. You stand directly under the wrath of Almighty God because you fail to listen to what God has to say. Many servants of God have stood, I believe, I don't remember anyone particularly, but I kind of remember as a boy, men of God standing here and teaching the severity of the judgment that would befall a man or woman who would fail to hearken to the word of God. But man still doesn't regard him. Man, as a matter of fact, seems intent on listening to anyone and everyone other than God. And while that's the area that I want to talk about tonight, the fact that man doesn't perceive and doesn't listen to God, I'm really probably as much awed by the first part of that verse as I am by the rest of it. The first part of the verse says, God speaks once, yea twice. If I were to ask you individually tonight, could you tell me if there is something inside of me or something inside of you that would cause God to bring his attention upon us? Have we something inside of us that God sees, and because of that, this goodness that was in it is within us causes him to bring his attention to us? I doubt it. As a matter of fact, I know that's not the way it is at all. My Bible tells me that the very best thing that I have to offer to God is filthy rags. And the nicest way that I know of to express what filthy rags means in that context is that a piece of cloth that has been wrapped around an oozing sore. That's the nicest way I can describe it. That's what God calls man's best righteousness. Filthy rags, such as the awesomeness and wonder and majesty and righteousness of God. God wanted to send someone into Egypt to bring his people out from the bondage of 400 years. And he called Moses. Moses, it is said, spent the first third of his life in Egypt learning to be somebody. He spent the next third of his life, 40 years, learning how to be nobody. And then he spent the last 40 years being somebody for God. At the end of that second 40 years, Moses was tending his father-in-law's flock in the wilderness, and he looked, or in the mountain actually, he looked, and there he saw a bush burning with fire. And it was a wonderful sight. The bush, if I understand what the word means, is that that bush was green, and it was being burned, and it stayed green. It wasn't consumed by the fire. Moses stood to one side to see what this sight was. And God, the word says, spoke to Moses out of the midst of the fire. Don't want to go into what God told Moses. My point is, God is not affected by fire. God was in the midst of the fire, unharmed, untouched, unmoved. The fire was there to give Moses a message. God is not affected by fire. Nebuchadnezzar made an image because his friends said, at least they considered them his friends, they said, make a big image, Nebuchadnezzar, and make all the people bow down to it. If they don't bow down to it, put them in the fire and burn them. And he made the fire and he made the image. And there were three young men from Israel, three Jewish young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they were seen not to bow down. They heard what Nebuchadnezzar said. They knew what the penalty for disobedience would be. But they wouldn't bow down. They had earlier in their lives listened to the Lord, and they had perceived what God had said. They had obeyed him, and his was the voice that they were listening to. He had said, remember, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And they determined not to bow. And they brought, at Nebuchadnezzar's command, a king now full of rage, the Bible says, to him. And he said, I'll give you another chance. Bow down. You can be saved. And they said, and this takes a lot of courage, to the greatest king on the earth at that time, they said, we're not even careful to answer you. But we want you to know that our God, if he sees fit, will save us from the fire. And if not, we will not bow down. And it says that his visage was changed. His countenance with vengeance was changed as he looked upon them. And he heated that furnace 7 times hotter. And the men who threw them into the fire were destroyed by it. And Nebuchadnezzar looked into the fire, and there were 4 people in there. And he said the form of the 4th was like the Son of God. God is not affected by fire. And the people whom God protects are insulated against fire. The thing that men, one of the things that men fear most, fire, has absolutely no effect on God. But the Bible says that same God who is not affected by fire will one day cast all those who fail to listen to him, who fail to perceive what he says, will cast them into the lake of fire. And there's a strange coincidence here. They will be burned, but they will not be consumed. That's what the bush was. Burned, but not consumed. It is dangerous, dear friend, deadly dangerous not to listen to God. Have you noticed that people have lost a sense of the power and might of God? I remember as a boy coming to church and to Sunday school and listening to men talk and women over Spanish Wells. And there was a sense of the almightiness and the power and majesty of God in our midst. I think we're losing it. Have you ever seen anyone fling a star into space? Have you ever seen anyone raise someone from the dead? I think the Bible indicates that in a very clear way that one of the greatest demonstrations of the power of God ever recorded in the Word of God was the resurrection of the Lord Jesus from the dead. He came forth not because they rolled away the stone. He came forth because God wanted man to see that he had power over death, because he said before he died, I lay down my life of myself and I have power to take it again. God speaks. Men continue not to listen. The story in Joshua is about Achan. Achan was a favored man, similar to you and similar to me. He grew up in the desert as the children of Israel traveled those 40 years when they failed to go in the first time. They didn't believe God. The adults perished in their unbelief. So Achan was not an adult. He came to the crossing of the Jordan, And he looked as the priests of Israel stepped their feet into the Jordan with the Ark of the Covenant, and immediately the waters of the Jordan backed up. And the Jordan Valley, which, by the way, was overflowing its banks at that time. When God does something, he does it when it's the most difficult to do it. The entire banks of Jordan were overflowed, not only just the river itself. And Jordan backed up. And Israel went across on dry land. And Achan saw it. And God was speaking to him. He was a man with a family. You saw that when we read about his death. He was probably a young man who was brought up possibly in a godly home. And I'm here to tell you tonight, dear friend, that every one of your life's circumstances, in everything that happens to you, not only coming out to listen to the gospel, not only reading the Bible or having your mother read it to you when you were young, but in every circumstance of life, God wants to get your attention. He wants you to hear him, to perceive what he has to say to you. And not only to hear, to perceive, but to obey him. God said in the first military campaign in the new promised land, children of Israel, march around Jericho. Why were the people of Jericho afraid? They were afraid. Remember when the spies went in, Rahab the harlot told them, he said, our people are fainting for fear because of you, because of what you did to the kings on the other side of Jordan. But this army just marched around once every day for 6 days, seven times on the seventh day. Achan knew what was going to happen when the people shouted on the seventh day. He was probably one of the soldiers marching around the city. He had heard God's voice through Joshua, and he knew exactly what would happen. The walls fell down flat. I know there are a lot of stories about how that happened, and I don't know what happened. All I know that I believe that those walls went even with the ground. And Rahab said, now you know if a God can put a couple of million tons of rock down flat on the ground, he can take that little house and nestle it just softly onto the ground. And Rahab and all of her house were saved. And the children of Israel shouted, and they went forward, and they destroyed and they burned the city of Jericho according to the word of God through Joshua, except for one man. Every person that crossed the Jordan and went around Jericho obeyed God except Achan. He was told that if he went into the city and took anything out, that the city was accursed, and that what he took would be accursed, and that he would be cursed. That's what the Bible said. Achan says, I saw, I coveted, I took. And in all of these things, Achan heard, understood, comprehended what God had to say. But because he didn't listen, he took of the accursed thing. And God did to him. God's judgment is both swift and exact. God is not unrighteous. God said, what was in Jericho must be burned. And they burned it. What he took must be burned. And they burned it. But I read very slowly verse 24 of chapter 7. I read it slowly because of the impact it had upon me when I read it. And Joshua took all the children of Israel with him. They took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had. And they brought them to the valley of Achor, and they told him, you have troubled us. God will trouble you this day. And as a result of Achan's sin, he may be today, he and all of those things that I just mentioned, buried under a heap of stone just outside the walls of Jericho. Why? Because he heard but did not perceive what God said. God has always been speaking to mankind. He spoke in the flood. Noah preached for over 100 years. The only converts he had were his own family. He spoke in the redemption from Egypt. They came out of Egypt and they looked behind them and there was an army of Pharaoh. They looked in front of them and there was a sea that they couldn't cross. And they cried to God and God opened the sea. And the sea that was a salvation for them came down and destroyed their enemies. God spoke to them as he speaks to you and me today. God speaks in the law. Don't ever think that the law was not for you and for me. The Bible says, I am the Lord thy God which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, thou out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other God before me. God spoke through the prophets. You know what the Lord Jesus said about that truth? He looked at the Pharisees and he said, I have a story to tell you. There was a man who purchased a vineyard. And he was going into a far country and he loaned or hired that vineyard out to vine dressers, to husbandmen. And at the appointed time, he sent his servants to collect his portion of the profits of the harvest. And they killed them and they stoned them and they threw them out of the vineyard. And he did it again and they did the same to them. And then he said, peradventure they would reverence my son. I will send him. And when they saw him coming, they said, this is the heir. Let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours. And the Pharisees looked at one another, and they said, he's talking about us. But the Lord Jesus went on to say that that son was the stone that would crush into powder all of those who didn't listen to him. My friend, tonight, God in his mercy, as written in his word, the formula for your salvation, and he asks you to listen. At the end of the Old Testament, these words are recorded, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. The curse began early in the Old Testament, just after Adam and Eve were created. They sinned and the curse came in. At the end of the Old Testament, the last words, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And then 400 years of silence before the man came who would take the curse away. And that's when God spoke. This old world lay in hopelessness. For 400 years there were no prophets, no direct communication from God. And then God spoke for the very last time and gave hope to a world lost in sin. He spoke not by sending his prophets. He spoke by coming himself. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spoke in time past, through the fathers, through the prophets, as in these last days, spoken to us through his Son, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, who when he by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, brought hope to a hopeless world, but only to those who will listen. A young woman, 20 years of age, walking the streets, the beaches of a deserted beach in California, had nothing on her person other than her clothes except a revolver. She was about to end her life. At 20 years of age, she had just buried her 2-month-old son. She had just checked out of a hospital where she had been diagnosed with terminal leukemia. Her husband had, at the birth of their son, at the death of their son, divorced her. And her dearest friend, who had given her a New Testament, who was a Christian, had just died in an automobile accident. It's one of those stories that if it wasn't true, you wouldn't dare say it. Hopeless, helpless, lost, walking a beach with a gun in her hand. She called Chuck Swindle because his name and address and telephone number were written in the New Testament. And she told him what I just told you. That was her condition. He said to her, have you read the book? She said, yes, I have. What did you learn? She said, he asked. She said, I learned the first part of the book is the life story of a man named Jesus. And the last part of the book tells me how to live like him. But I have got no hope. I still am lost. What am I going to do? And he said for over an hour, he told her not that she could get well from her disease, not that her husband would come back to her, or that her child would return, or that her friend would come back. He told her of the love of the Lord Jesus, how he died for her, and that ultimately, if she would trust him, he would save her, and he would take her home to be with him. She listened, and then, with a hopeless sigh, she hung up the telephone. A half an hour later, his phone rang again, and there was a new message. He said, what have you decided? She said, I've decided that though I know what you say is true, and though it's still dark, and though tomorrow seems so difficult and so terrible and so close, I have decided to give my life to the Lord Jesus and put it all in his care, and I have such wonderful peace. God spoke once, yea, twice. She perceived what he had to say, and she listened and obeyed and gave her life to the Lord Jesus. The Bible says in John's Gospel, chapter 3, and verse 18, he that believeth not the Son is condemned already. The only thing left is for the execution to take place. Another man sat on death row in a prison for murder, awaiting his execution. A doctor was passing by and he called out and said, doctor, would you get me a pencil and piece of paper, please? The doctor said, well, can I ask you why you'd like to have it? He said, yes, I'd like to make a will. There's nothing else for me to do. I'm just sitting here waiting to die. And the doctor, with a very sad face, said, my dear man, I'm sorry to have to tell you that making a will now will make absolutely no difference. There is no court on earth that would accept the will of a dead man. He said, but I'm not dead. He said, yes, you are. As far as the laws of this land are concerned, you are dead already. They're only waiting to execute you. My friend, that's your position if you're here tonight without the Lord Jesus. You're dead already. Just waiting for the execution to take place. But I'm so happy to tell you tonight that I don't have to stop there. While the wages of sin is death, it is true the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Jesus came. He came and he paid the debt that we owed. And Paul could say, God could now be the just one and the justifier of him that believes in Jesus. God could not pass the sinner by. His sin demands that he must die. But in the cross of Christ, we see how God can save. Yet righteous be, because the Lord Jesus paid the penalty for your sin. And tonight, if you will come to him, you will be able to say, like Paul in another place in Romans, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you willing tonight? Not because I'm preaching, not because of anything that I have said, but what God has said to you down through the years of your life, through the changing and varied circumstances of your life. Maybe God has allowed some tragedy, some difficult thing to come upon you, and you've wanted him and you've come so close, but you've turned around and gone away so many times. Will you tonight be willing to turn to him and accept him? Him that cometh to me, the Lord Jesus said, I will in no wise cast out. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word. We realize that your word carries with it the power to save. It is alive and quick and powerful. So we pray that as we have feebly spoken it, that the message of it will convict some heart here in the meeting tonight. that they will understand that not listening to you carries a death sentence, but that it need not be so. The Lord Jesus Christ came and He died. He died that we might never die. And He lives that we might live with Him forever. Oh, the tragedy of someone walking out of the meeting, going out of this building and out into a lost eternity without hope and without God. We pray that this will not be the case. Use your word, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Could we sing one verse in closing? I know the time is gone, but I would like to sing, Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love would thou roam farther and farther away? Just one verse. Maybe somebody wants to come to the Lord Jesus. We give you an opportunity to do so. 133, first verse and chorus only.